Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio on this Wednesday, November the 11th, 2020. Thank you for listening to AFR. Ed Battagliano is with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
We are here.
All right. Fred, how are you, sir, today?
I'm doing really well. Really well.
Big news yesterday, Fred, was from North Carolina, right?
That is it. Exactly. It has been confirmed now that the incumbent Republican Senator Tillis is going back to Washington. The challenger from the Democrats, Mr. Cunningham, who we talked a lot about on election night,
conceded.
He conceded yesterday, and I think we were puzzled as to why it took so long, because he was the subject of a scandal in the midst of his election campaign, cheated on his wife. It was well known. He confessed to it, and I think it was only a matter of time before he conceded.
Well, I don't think he would have conceded over that. He just didn't have the numbers to win. I mean, it was a combination of the two, I guess.
Yes, yes. The numbers reflected the questions North Carolinians had about
Finish counting, or is he just seeing the writing on the wall? He's not going to be able to overcome Tillis.
Yeah, he's seeing the writing on the wall. It was time, he said, to concede.
Okay.
But no, to answer your first question, apparently they're still counting in North Carolina.
I know there's probably a reasonable explanation, Ed, for these countings now, 8 days away? But it brings up, I'm just thinking, Nevada, Arizona, North Carolina, Georgia. What are you people doing? Are you going fishing after lunch every day? What in the world? Why can't you finish counting? The rest of the country has.
Well, listen, I think this is all because of all these mail-in ballots. I think the experience that we've had, of course, you could have predicted all this chaos.
And the president did.
Yes.
And the president did. And the potential for unbelievable amounts of fraud. But just for the practical point of trying to count all these ballots in some states, like Pennsylvania, this is the fault of the Republican-controlled legislature who said you can't start counting all these mail-in ballots until Election Day. That's going. 1.4 million came in Pennsylvania, mail-ins. You just can't do that on Election Day, and it is going to take time. So they're going to have to figure out a different way to do it.
Arizona, what do they got, three people counting? Huh? What do you got?
I like that. That's a classic line about going fishing after lunch, though.
Good night. I mean, how long does this take? I know that that some of them are doing recounts because they were so close. Some of the states are doing recounts because the numbers were so close. All right, Fred. The president is challenging the decisions in court. In courtrooms all over the country, right?
That is correct, and continuing to do filings. In one jurisdiction yesterday, the president's election team filed affidavits, 200 pages of affidavits from poll workers in one jurisdiction, saying that there was stuff going on that didn't look right. In fact, here's an example of possible voter fraud, this one in Nevada. And this was a person interviewed last night on the Ingram angle, Laura Ingram, on Fox and News.
I could hardly understand this lady.
Yeah, they had to change her voice. It's being disguised because she's worried about repercussions. Anyway, she told Laura Ingram last night about Biden campaign marking ballots. Listen to her story, and you'll have to listen carefully. Cut number one.
Where I was walking, the Biden van was parked along this stretch. And I was walking to it, and I could see these people hand over what appeared to be white envelopes, just hand over onto this table. And as I got closer, the envelopes were being torn open.
there were two men or two people dropping the envelopes and two people ripping them open and turning and facing the van and drawing on them or marking them. And as I got closer, that, you know, as I was walking, they would put things down and pick more paper up and mark on the van and then put it down and pick some more up. And as I got closer, I looked and I thought, those are ballots. And it kind of was an odd, like, what are they doing? There were four total people, but only two were marking and opening the envelopes and the paper.
First of all, I want to say I was abducted by aliens when I was a teenager.
And they sounded
just like that. I'm sorry.
What they were trying to do right there is disguise the lady's voice because she's worried for her safety if people find out who she is.
Right.
When she's making claims that the poll workers were...
Biden poll workers.
We're ripping open ballots illegally.
And writing on them.
And changing.
That's what she says.
Right.
Yes.
Now, I want to be fair here. How come she did? Did she take any video of this with her phone? I would have thought the first thing you do is, she said she went by four or five times, is you take out your phone, you get
video.
You video this, you get the van license plate, you get the faces of the people doing it, and you get what they're doing. Now, after the four or five times she says she went by, they did get a wall of people, she says, in front to obscure what's going on. But she could have gotten 60, 90 seconds worth of video. That would have been very helpful.
It would have been better than what we just heard.
Yes. So I'm just trying to be fair here. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I doubt
you
made
it
up.
I'm not saying it didn't happen either. I'm just saying this is one person. You're going to have to have somebody else verify this, you know.
Right.
Surely there's a security camera around or something.
Good point. They would think that they could
back her up. But I didn't understand, did she say before or after what we just heard, Fred, the context of this anymore? In other words, I wouldn't think that the Biden, quote, campaign or in Nevada would be toting in ballots. You know what I'm saying? I would think that would be the U.S. Postal Service, for example, or somebody.
She said she identified them as Biden workers. Now, we've heard similar stories in other jurisdictions where late at night.
Well, let me tell you something.
4 a.m, vans showing up with ballots.
I don't know when this is going to come out, but if it's as on a broad scale as some have suggested, it's going to come out. Mm. Somebody's gonna spill the beans. Now she's what the lady right there was saying. She wasn't a participant in the fraud, but she observed it. That's what that's what her claim is. Another thing is, you know, we're on a time crunch here.
Yes,
because the Electoral College is supposed to convene
December 14th.
They're playing Notre Dame. Is that when they're playing Notre Dame?
Well, Notre Dame and Boston College
are going to play the Electoral College
at the Electoral College.
They are.
Yeah.
The Electoral College is supposed to convene on December the 14th, I think.
Right.
That's, what is that, a month from now, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, today's the 11th, so you're talking about a month and 3 days.
Yeah.
Just about a month.
So this is a time crunch, and these court cases are going to have to be moved to the top of the list of whatever the judge has or judges have to hear. And also, you're going to have to... The burden is on the Trump campaign to prove that enough votes were changed or not counted for President Trump or otherwise a part of a fraud scheme that would flip a state potentially.
Yes.
Okay. For example, you said how much is Biden ahead in Pennsylvania?
Just almost 48,000 votes.
Okay. So you're going to, the Trump campaign, now I know folks, you may say, well, there's fraud here and fraud there and fraud there. You're not going to be able to prove it all. Well, okay. But I'm just telling you, a judge is going to say, who's looking at this, is going to say, can you demonstrate there were potentially 40,000+ votes that were not counted for the president, that were counted for Biden. that you can show that puts the whole thing in question.
Right.
And that kind of question by judges has been the standard in the past.
Yes.
Right. And will be the standard in other states like Nevada, like Arizona. I don't know about Georgia, where that's going to on these razor thin races.
Yeah, and they are.
Razor thin.
Most of them less than a percent difference.
And you're talking about millions of people that right. voted in Arizona, for example, in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia.
Right.
Billions of people voted, and it comes down to, comes down to 1,000 or 2,000.
In Georgia, Biden is ahead, apparently, by 14,000 votes. Arizona, Biden is declared the winner, at least by the media. None of these states have certified their results. Yeah. That's 12,000 votes.
Another thing is, you cannot claim you're the president-elect when there's so many close races, recounts are going on, lawsuits are going on, and the states haven't even certified their vote yet.
Right.
So this is like, you know, people want to say, well, Trump's wrong to question the vote or to go to court. Listen, what Biden is doing is akin to standing on the podium at the Super Bowl, claiming the trophy, while the referees are on the field looking at the final play to see if it needs to be overturned or not.
Right. No, I think that's a great metaphor. And listen, we all want to see our election process be secure and transparent. And this charge is going to be on the American people to make sure their states do this right. And I'm telling you, the only way for our election process to be secure is to have a limited number of absentee ballots. Not, you don't limit them by number, but in terms of the process, you only want to have absentee ballots where someone has a legally requested. You're going to have some sort of identification process or an affidavit saying, I'm coming on behalf of my mom who's bedridden. She wants to vote. You're going to have that. And then everybody else is going to have to go to the polls and have an ID. That's just the only way you can do this and protect the process, the integrity of this process. What we have in 2020 is a disaster, potential catastrophe in yeah. terms of the election.
And two things. Again, President Trump warned about this chaos.
Right.
Number one. Number two, don't swallow the media's lie when they say what Trump is doing is unprecedented. That is not true. I was listening to Karl Rove this morning, taking us back to the year 2000, the Hanging Chads, Florida. The country waited 37 days before it was declared that George W. Bush had won that election. They right. waited. Al Gore protested. They said they were going to back count the votes, et cetera, et cetera. 37 days. The country right. waited. So it's not unprecedented what President Trump is doing.
Well, the media, including Fox News, I've been very disappointed with Fox News. The media has been acting. I'm looking at it right now. President-elect reportedly considering controversial names, former rivals for top White House posts. He is not the president-elect yet.
No.
Because the states have not a single state, I understand it, has certified the results.
They don't have to until December 6th, is it?
Yeah. So this is very disappointing.
If this were flipped and the scenario was Donald Trump was ahead by a tiny amount, relatively speaking, across the country, and especially some of these swing states, razor thin margins, and President Trump was out there saying, he's already saying he won. but I mean, and he was making the same claim based on what's happening in these various states, the left would be going nuts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Especially if Biden, former Vice President Biden, was in court over
potential. Yes, the left would be going nuts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, there's a lot of people ticked off at Fox News right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I give you an example?
Go ahead.
There's infighting at Fox News over this issue. I was watching Neil Cavuto the other day when they went live to a news conference with Kayleigh McEnany, who was giving an update on the court challenges.
And we played this yesterday.
Yeah. she got about 2 minutes into her news conference, didn't have a chance to explain what was
going
on.
We've got that if you want to play that.
Sure.
Is it important?
What are we about to hear now?
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, this is from Neil Cavuto's show. They went live to this news conference, but then Cavuto pulled out about 2 minutes into it, saying, I'm not going to listen to these allegations of fraud. Here's what we played yesterday.
There is only one party in America. There is only one party in America trying to keep observers out of the count room. And that party, my friends, is the Democrat Party. Our position is clear. We want an honest, accurate, lawful count. We want maximum sunlight. We want maximum transparency. We want every legal vote to be counted, and we want every illegal vote to
be counted. I just think we have to be very clear. She's charging, the other side is welcoming fraud and welcoming illegal voting. Unless she has more details to back that up, I can't in good countenance continue showing you this. Okay. I want to make sure that...
Well, you didn't give her a chance to back that up.
Right.
That's right.
What y'all said yesterday?
In fact, Kayleigh McEnany was only the first speaker. There were two more that came.
Yes.
Was it Rona McDaniel?
Yeah, head of the RNC.
Head of the RNC. She came out and began laying that out. But because Neil Cavuto dumped the video and audio.
People didn't get to hear the evidence.
They didn't get to hear the evidence. Now, what Fred has is some evidence of the infighting at Fox over what Cavuto did, right?
Yeah, Tucker Carlson, without mentioning the name of his colleague, Cavuto, this is what he had to say of what's going on at Fox, cut number four.
In a democracy, you cannot ignore honest questions from citizens. You're not allowed. You can't dismiss them out of hand as crazy or immoral for asking. You can't just cut away from coverage you don't like. You can't simply tell people to accept an outcome. Because force doesn't work in a democracy. That's dictatorship. In a free society, you have to convince the public of your legitimacy. You have to win them over with reason. Democracy is always a voluntary arrangement. Telling voters to shut up is never enough.
So there you have it. Boy, it must be interesting to be in those offices in New York right now.
Well, I've heard like 10 people tell me the last 3 days, you know, that are they're Fox News viewers. Now they're giving Tucker, Sean, and Laura Ingram.
Right.
They're not including them in this criticism.
And Fox and Friends in the morning generally
right.
is unscathed.
But the anchors and the other parts of their newscast throughout the day, there's a lot of people upset who are fans of Fox News.
Right. Yes.
So I don't know how that's going to affect their ratings. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. I have no inside knowledge on this. This is just me thinking out loud here, which is often dangerous. But I'm wondering, Fred and Ed, that if President Trump is not successful in staying in the White House, maintaining presidency, his legal challenges fail, if he will leave and start a news television network.
Yeah.
Or a news agency.
Hmm.
Or he'll buy Fox.
He may not have enough money to buy Fox.
That's a lot of money.
That's
right
a lot
there.
Of money.
But he's a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
I'm just wondering.
That's a good... That's a good point. And not only that, but maybe some sort of
what if he brought Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingram with him?
Ooh.
I don't know what their contracts are.
Ooh.
You talk about...
That would decimate Fox News.
Yes.
But I'm saying that
yes,
that,
it would.
Yeah.
No, it would. Nobody's going to watch you for being moderate.
Right.
Huh? Who watches moderates?
Right.
Huh? Anymore. I mean, I'm for hearing... I like to hear arguments from the left because I want to see what they're saying. But I don't want to hear... People tune in to CNN and CNBC because they're rabidly left.
Right.
People tune in to Fox because they're right. Right of center, at least. And they have conservative voices on there. So you get, I don't know. Can you attract an audience?
Let me just talk about Fox again for just a second.
Okay.
I know we might have. I'm gonna pop Fox again. is what I'm gonna do. I don't know if we're gonna go to at some point the James O'Keefe the video that he has about I'm trying to remember which.
Postal worker?
Yes.
The postal worker.
Richard
okay.
Hopkins.
The
yes.
story on that postal worker story, the Fox story on it, mm-hmm. called Project Veritas a far-right conservative group.
Yes.
That was the story. Mm-hmm. Now, that's opinion in a news story mm-hmm. on Fox, mm-hmm. and I don't think it's a fair opinion. I would like to ask Fox, well, what do you consider far-right? What does that mean? Far right, Project Veritas. No.
It's used to discredit.
It's used to discredit. And I'm sitting here thinking, why is Fox doing what the Associated Press does and what the Washington Post does? Now, to your point about President Trump, I think that's possible, but I don't think any of those big three are going to leave Fox to go work for the guy who says you're fired. You see what I'm saying? I don't think that, you know, you make him mad yeah. and he fires you.
Like I said, I'm just yeah. talking out loud here. I don't have any insight, knowledge.
He's not going away. Whatever he does.
Oh, President Trump, he's going to be a force for a while.
Yes, if he doesn't get the election. Yeah. We're just clarifying.
Yeah. But Tucker Carlson there, Fred, going basically criticizing his own mm-hmm. colleague. That was wrong what Cavuto did right there.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely.
He cut her off. Mm-hmm. When she was about to give the very evidence, he said she's not supplying.
Right.
In her 60 seconds of time, he allowed her.
What yes. happens? What happens to Fox and people like Neil Cavuto if there is? It's a big if, but if there is significant evidence of fraud,
right.
so that states actually right. get flipped mm-hmm. and Trump wins,
right?
What is Neil Cavuto? How is Neil Cavuto and how is Fox right. News going to justify the fact that they called Arizona so early?
I know.
On
and
election
now we're down
night.
To what? How many thousand? I mean, President Trump's getting really close.
Yes, he is.
Well, it's 12,8, almost 13,000.
12,000 votes. Yep. And how many cast in Arizona total?
Oh, my goodness. It's looking like 3.3 million.
Okay, yeah. 3.3 million vote cast. Here we are down to 15. What did you say, 15,000? 12,000 vote difference, and that's probably going to close even closer today. And you call the race the night of?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying, whether President Trump is able to catch Joe Biden or not in Arizona, I don't know how Fox News, now they may hang on to be right, in right. quotations, but you wouldn't normally call a race like that
yeah.
so early, you know, with it turning out to be that
and small. And they've been calling Biden president-elect
yeah.
for almost a week.
That's why a lot of people who are Fox fans are upset.
Yes.
And they got a right to be.
Well, and here's what I can't understand. Fox is making beaucoup de money because they're leading in the ratings. They're cleaning up in the ratings, the nighttime ratings.
Oh.
And this
oh,
is
yeah.
so I can't understand why you would then move to the left in your coverage,
listen,
which is just going to chase viewers away.
Listen, I don't have a problem with Fox News anchors and reporters saying, "Show us the money."
Right.
So to speak, show us the evidence. We want to see it, and we want to report on it. And even if they say that's not enough evidence to convince me there was enough votes that make a difference here, okay. But
breaking news out of Georgia just before we go to the break. Secretary of State in Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, says the state will begin a full audit of election results. They're going to count every ballot by hand first time. It's been done. Recount.
Well, if you're going to count every ballot by hand, you're going to find out whether there was fraud.
Yes.
So good for him. And yep. Number two, if you're going to count every ballot by hand, you're going to get through by Valentine's Day. Huh? Who calls the poll workers and say, guess what?
Because you're looking at 5 million, nearly 5 million votes. By hand.
Wow. Okay. I was going to say something really significant.
Fred, you can't remember now,
Fred,
can you?
Got into breaking news right there, and I can't even remember what I was going to say. Now I'd be talking to my kids.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
Let me say it this way. Yeah, it may be the end of the world as we know it, but because of Jesus, we can feel fine and have comfort and assurance, even courage at this time.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio. and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we've announced our dates for our Spiritual Heritage Tours for 2021. We'll be going in June, and we'll be going in September. And folks are already signing up for these wonderful Christian heritage experiences. Now, we're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Wow, the history there is phenomenal. You're going to see so much when we visit those three sites. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. These are two separate tours, but they're back-to-back in case you want to do both of them. So again, those are in June and September 2021. People are already signing up. So if you want to be a part of these, the information is available to you at spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com. Everything's there.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. The Centers for Disease Control wants you to celebrate Thanksgiving outside. They say it's one of the only ways to prevent your family from coming down with a case of the China virus. But you might want to wear gloves. You don't want to get frostbite. The CDC released a manual on how to celebrate Thanksgiving during a global pandemic, recommending virtual celebrations instead of in-person and no potluck dinners, no passing of the rolls. All dinners must be pre-plated. The CDC says families should wear face masks in between bites of cornbread dressing and sweet potato pie. And if you have to eat indoors, they say you should open up the windows to increase ventilation. So if you live in places like Minnesota or North Dakota, you might want to bundle up for Turkey Day and be sure to pack a blowtorch to defrost the giblets. Be sure to download my free podcast. Listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, streaming online at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Fred, and we thank you for listening to AFR. We failed to mention that at the top of the program, as we normally do, if you want to watch the show, this show, on YouTube or Facebook, just type in Today's Issues. Type in Today's Issues. Today is Veterans Day, and I've been watching some of the ceremonies there at the Arlington National Cemetery at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which I've had the pleasure, my wife and I, Allison, have taken thousands and thousands of folks there over the years. And that's where the president and the vice president are today, as is the custom of any president, and that is to visit the Arlington Cemetery for that ceremony and then usually speak there. Okay, Abraham Hamilton III is with us this half hour, at least for the next few minutes. Abe is a constitutional attorney. He's also host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon here on AFR from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
So Fred, were you giving us breaking news there before the...
Yes, Secretary of State in Georgia, where I think, Ed, you said the vote spread between Biden and Trump is only, what, 14,000?
Just over 14,000.
The Secretary of State there announcing just a few moments ago that they are going to do a full audit of the election results. They say it's the first time that has ever happened in the state. And he says they're going to do a full by-hand recount in each county.
How's that work, Abe? You ever seen that?
No, I have not, especially 5 million votes.
Isn't that going to take weeks?
Depending on who they have counting, how many people they have counting, and I would be interested to know if the Secretary of State is going to allow people from both campaigns, presidential campaigns, to oversee or witness the recounting.
I bet there's no plan for this.
No, this is all new, and that's why I said in the last segment, there's only one way to fix this mess, and that is
no more mail-in voting.
You just have
on a mass scale,
right? On a mass scale, and you have to have a voter ID. You're just going to have to do that. You know, you're going to have clean voter rolls, which means, like for states like Nevada, you can't have people that have moved out of state or are living in another state. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, you just have to have clean voter rolls and then voter ID, and most people have to do it, the vast majority of people have to do it in person, period. That's how you're going to have to do this, or you're going to have this chaos and potential fraud every single election.
Sounds a lot like the law in a lot of states
yeah,
right now.
They would, yeah, they'd follow it.
I don't know when I said just a moment ago they have no plan for this, being Georgia, the Secretary of State, on hand counting 5 million votes. I don't know that for sure. Maybe they do. They may have a plan. But you're about to find that that plan was not probably well thought out. Listen, I'm just thinking to myself, guys. First of all, let me congratulate the Secretary of State of Georgia, whose name fails me now.
Brad Raffensperger.
Yes.
He, by the way, he's been getting crushed by his own fellow Republicans over there.
Yes, yes.
That may be why he's doing this. Or the state law may call for it because the slight percentage that
it is point the difference between Biden and Trump, 0.29%.
Okay,
less than a third of a percent.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm wondering how you conduct this. Because these are human beings that are going to have to sit at a table in the old-fashioned way and look at a piece of paper. Tell me if I'm wrong here. And say, Biden, Trump.
And it's valid.
It's a valid ballot.
Yeah.
It's a valid ballot. And here's what I'm saying is I think you're going to have two people looking at every one of those. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, somebody favoring a particular candidate could say, it's my guy, when it isn't, and nobody's ever going to know the difference because I'm fixing to put it in a stack down here.
Right.
That's the way I'm seeing it.
Yeah, have a representative from each party. I don't know how you do this.
That's what I'm saying. How do you?
We got
do
a
this?
Lawyer here. Let's ask the lawyer.
Aren't you going to have people watching from both campaigns?
I would imagine so.
And then you got to have a referee. Somebody's at one out of 100. You're probably going to have there's no signature here. Do we count? Or he signed the bill, but he didn't put his last name. Do we count this or not?
I don't even know if they have paper ballots in Georgia. How do you do a manual recount if it's like where I vote? I put the card in the machines, electronic. You know, you press the buttons and then you cast the ballot. Then do you confirm that you cast the ballot? Yes.
Oh, I was talking about mail-in votes.
No, the announcement was you're going to count all the votes, not just
mail-in.
Is
that true?
I know,
all votes.
That's what this story says, and it's a WSB TV.
That's Atlanta. But what I'm saying is a computer, the kind of votes that we all do when we go do in-person voting, that's easy. I'm talking about aren't the mail-in votes supposed to have a signature?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. There's going to be disputed votes along the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Somebody's going to have to make the call. This is good or nothing. This is not. Maybe there won't be many of those, but razor thin.
And they have till December 6th, is that correct, for the secretaries of state?
Yeah, they have to be certified by December 8th.
December 8th, okay.
December 8th.
Could they do this in...
So you're talking about 3 weeks?
Yeah. I think they could do it in 3 weeks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could do it in three
weeks. Well, this is going to be very interesting because this is a very close race, and we're going to find out, at least in Georgia, if there has been some fraud and how significant it is. It doesn't necessarily mean that that other states had that same amount of fraud. But if it comes down and Biden wins and it's off by a couple thousand votes, but he still wins the state of Georgia, then you're going to say, well, the system worked in Georgia.
Yeah, and You know, I've heard people say that all these questions about the election, it's divisive. It's like, no, it's not. It would be more divisive if we go into January and you still have a significant percentage of the American populace who are confident, who believe, or for whatever range of spectrum you want to associate the emotional investment in, but they believe that the election was stolen. It would behoove those who are even Biden supporters, in my opinion, to affirm conclusively, once and for all, that this was a legitimate election, and if Joe Biden won, he won, and it's been confirmed. That would be the best thing forward to move forward peaceably, in my opinion,
right,
for our country, instead of just saying, ah, there's nothing doing. And because I noticed something, and I played audio of this when George Stephanopoulos was interviewing Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota. He began questioning her when she was saying, hey, it's premature to start saying president-elect, things of that nature, because nothing has been certified. And then George Stephanopoulos said, what evidence do you have of fraud or irregularities, et cetera? And Kristi Noem started rattling it off. Then he changed his verbiage to say, well, what widespread evidence do you have?
Yeah.
He made, and you, if you notice that people are changing from no evidence to no widespread evidence. And I'm saying that's a tacit admission that there's some evidence. And the question is, if it is some evidence, how significant is it? If it's not enough to change the outcome, it's still important to know that there's still other irregularities and things that need to be corrected so that going forward we won't have these things happen going forward.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for just a second, Abe. I mean, just about every
Why would
election.
You want to advocate for the devils, Ed?
Angels advocate. There is probably evidence in every election of fraud. So I'm not defending George Stephanopoulos, mm-hmm. but to me, it seems clear that if you don't want to have widespread evidence of or evidence of widespread fraud, then you have to correct the way we do things.
I mean, and if it's true that every election there's some fraud, how long are we going to be comfortable with some fraud all the time?
Right.
You know, we have to get to
well,
the
what
point
do you call fraud?
Dead people voting, for example.
That's right. Not fraud.
It is fraud.
It's not fraud? Dead people voting?
Okay, let me explain myself. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, Tim, you can do this. Come up with an argument. You got Abe and Ed staring at you. Okay, I should say this. It's a different level of fraud. Fraud to me is changing votes. On a massive scale. A dead person voting because it came to a mailbox where I, you know, for my family members, so I'm going to say Thelma voted even though she died 2 months ago. Yes, that is fraud, but that's not what I'm thinking about on a massive scale. That one little thing right there is not going to change an election. What I'm thinking about fraud is you have thousands of votes that are switched because somebody controls software on a computer. And can you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a level of, so my apologies, yeah. But yes, you guys are correct. It is fraud, but it's not the kind of fraud I'm thinking about that changes elections.
Well, I would say I would ask the guy from Louisiana because New Orleans and Louisiana were am I right? They were infamous, and probably Chicago, Illinois, were infamous for dead people voting. It was like a whole industry, wasn't it?
Yes.
Where they would take names that had not been removed from the voter rolls, and they would turn it into election changing.
And
maybe not all states.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
40,000 in Pennsylvania. You got to have to find 40,000.
Oh, no, I'm saying Pennsylvania. Yeah. I'm saying it has been done before in Louisiana and Chicago, and maybe even in Texas in the 1960 election between Kennedy and Nixon. That was also one where dead people voting is least suspected of changing the presidential election.
Yeah, and the thing is, in certain states, your point is well taken. 40,000, is it enough to swing elections? When you wanted a fraud, you don't have to do it all over the country, just in a certain couple hotbeds, if you want to try to influence it. And again, are we going to allow that to continue, or do we want to stop that? And if so, what better time to do that than now?
I would only say that when you have how many millions of people in Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania.
The population or the
Pennsylvania.
How many voters?
This is six and a half million.
5 million people.
Let me just say this. This is a tiny little point that Tim feels the human need to get in to okay. vindicate myself for whatever reason I feel I need to be vindicated. No, you're going to have fraud. You got how many?
It's 6.75 somewhere.
You know what?
Million.
You can take a revote every month with 6.7 million people. And guess what? You're going to have fraud every single time. Every single time. Mm-hmm. You're going to have fraud. It's just a question of to what degree. Somebody's going to get vote for a dead person. So I'm just saying, if you're expecting to have a completely clean election.
No, you're not
going to have one when you got millions of people.
But you can have a process that seeks to limit the amount of fraud.
Like, so, don't do massive mail out.
Right.
I was just about to say that. When you have millions of ballots sent in by the mail, that little percentage that you would have before has the potential to metastasize rather quickly.
Especially when emotions are running so high between Trump and Biden supporters.
You've noticed this?
Yes, I have. I don't know if you guys have picked up on this, but there are people out there who hate President Trump.
Yeah.
And especially in certain counties, and this is one of the allegations in the lawsuit that was filed this week in federal court in Pennsylvania, especially when you have certain counties that sent multiple mail-in ballots to the same voter unsolicited, unsolicited, and they opened them before the election day, which violates Pennsylvania state election law, and called the people who voted a certain way saying, hey, you didn't sign it. You have this irregularity. You need to cure this ballot. Where in other states, in other counties in Pennsylvania, they didn't do that.
Okay. Just to go on the record here before we get to our guest here. I was mistaken. I was mistaken that when I said that's not fraud. That is fraud. What dead people voting is fraud. What you guys said was true. What I should have said was tiny percent of people in a state like Pennsylvania that where dead people unless you can show where,
right,
you know what I'm saying, that's not enough to even get close to swinging an election to where 40,000 vote differential,
right?
Can we all agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, so if people can't take my apology, then there's nothing I can do.
I understand what I'm saying.
When you say fraud to me, I'm thinking, okay, not whether Thelma died 2 months ago and her widower voted for.
Yeah.
It's thousands of votes were flipped over because of a software deal going on here, something like that. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Our guest now for just a few moments is...
Yes, we want to welcome Irina Creek, who is with Operation Christmas Child. And we have coming up, a lot of our listeners have participated in Operation Christmas Child. We have National Collection Week. So we wanted to have Irina on, and we want to welcome her to the program. Irina, welcome to Today's Issues.
Thank you so much. It's a joy to be with you.
Well, Irina, tell us just a little bit about your story, and then please tell our listeners what is National Collection Week, and if they have not, perchance, heard of Operation Christmas Child, and what is all this about a shoebox? Let them know what that is as well.
Operation Christmas Child is one of the many projects of Samaritan's Purse. This is where you can take a shoebox, just a box that's shoebox size, and fill it with hygiene items, school supplies, and toys. And these gifts go all around the world to the needy countries of the world. And actually, the United States and several other countries are the giving countries of the world. And the National Collection Week is always the third week of November every year, where the entire nation comes together in the spirit of giving and generosity and drops off their shoeboxes at their local drop-off site. And you can go on SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to find out in your area where the drop-off location is.
Now, that's Samaritans. Go ahead and give that website again, please.
Yes, that's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Okay, great. At that website, Irina, folks can go and find out information about this and what kind of items. They can even pack a shoebox online, and then they can also find out where the drop-off is. They're the nearest one to them, correct?
Correct. And also, the other option that we have this year, especially for people who are saying, I don't feel safe to go out and shop, you can actually build a virtual box online and just pay for it right there online. It's about $25, and you can actually include a photo of your family or your group and a letter, and it will be sent to a child just with the rest of the shoeboxes.
Now, Irina, do you have a personal story connected with Operation Christmas Child and these shoeboxes?
I do. Actually, when I was little, I received one of those shoeboxes. I grew up in one of the countries that used to be part of the Soviet Union, and my parents were alcoholics, and we were very, very poor. But when I was about 4.5 years old, my dad was in prison and my mom left home to run some errands. But something happened to her, so she never returned. And actually, to this day, I don't know what happened to her. It's just a mystery. But it took me, because we didn't have anywhere to go, my sister and I, we were taken to an orphanage. And that's where I spent the rest of my childhood. And I just stopped waiting for my parents to come get me and realized that this is my life. And one day, something changed. And that's when Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes entered my orphanage. At this time, I was about 10 years old, and I didn't expect such a generous gift. We really didn't receive much from the government, so it was really an astonishing amount of toys and hygienized and school supplies that we got all at once. Actually, I still have some of the items to this very day. And we heard the wonderful gospel message, and I learned about God, and I began to see him as the God of adoption, because he's inviting all of us to be part of his family. And so I did just that, and I asked him to allow me and my sister to be adopted to a family that knows more about God than we do. And just a couple of years later, we were adopted to a family in Florence, South Carolina, where we continued to learn more about God, and we got in touch with Operation Christmas Child on this side of the world. And the rest, as they say, is history, and we've continued to pack shoeboxes ever since.
Hey, Irina, this is Tim. What age were you when you were adopted in the U.S.?
I was 12 and turned 13 when I came.
Wow. You have very good English.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank God for the great teachers here that I had at the public school that I went to as soon as we came to the States.
Yes. And, okay, well, listen, Irina, thank you for joining us. And we appreciate it very much. You shared how your life was impacted by Operation Christmas Child, and your story is repeated by the hundreds of thousands, who knows, millions around the world over these last, millions, mm-hmm. I'm sure, over these last couple of decades, however how long this has been going on. Since when?
Well, it's been going on since 1993. So I was one of the early children to have received the shoebox. And it's just such a blessing to know the ministry continues to move forward, even in this 2020 crazy, unpredictable year that so much has been canceled. We're still going strong, so thank you to you all and everyone who's listening who has packed a shoebox and who is thinking about packing this year. Thank you on behalf of all the children who are going to receive a solution to their problem this year by God's grace and your help.
You're welcome. Now, you still live in South Carolina?
I don't. I live in Boone, North Carolina, which is where Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child is headquartered.
Yes. Okay, well, then you're still close enough. Georgia, they need some help counting. And you live in North Carolina, we're a couple, 3 hours away, maybe get down there and help them. See if you can do that.
That's right.
I know you got your hands full with Operation Christmas Child, but I'm just saying. Irina, thank you so much. God bless you. Appreciate you being on with us.
Uh-huh. God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
And that is SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That stands for Operation Christmas Child. Check it out, folks.
Fred, next story.
Absolutely. Well, to wrap things up, what have we got, 5 minutes? Project Veritas. Ed talked about them about almost an hour ago, and they've been identified as a far-right group. No, really what they do is they go out and they catch people in the act by video. And they've been talking to a postal worker by the name of Richard Hopkins from Erie, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. He's accused his boss of instructing employees to pick up and bring him ballots that were received after Election Day. Now, there was a story yesterday that he had signed an affidavit saying, gee, I lied. I didn't tell the truth. But it turns out that is not true. And so what you're going to hear right now is this audio from this video, Richard Hopkins, but he is being pressured to change his story by a person identified as a federal agent. It's cut number three.
This storm is getting crazy, right? And it's out of a lot of people's control. And so the reason they called me in is to try to harness that storm, try to reel it back in before it gets really crazy.
Okay? I understand.
Because we have senators involved, we have the Department of Justice involved, we have
Trump's lawyers' team's gotten a hold of me.
I am trying to twist you a little bit, because in that, believe it or not, your mind will kick in.
Okay.
We like to control our mind, and when we do that, we can convince ourselves of a memory. But when you're under a little bit of stress, which is what I'm doing to you purposely, your mind can be a little bit clearer. And we're going to do a different exercise, too, to make your mind a little bit clearer.
Okay? There you go.
So, but this is all on purpose.
Roger.
I am not scaring you, but I am scaring you here.
Now, that person who was doing the interviewing did not know he was being recorded, did he, Fred?
That is right.
So now this is the story I was mentioning in the first segment, that the Fox News story written by Brittany DeLay of Fox News called Project Veritas, quote, the far right activist group. So that's when I first mentioned the fact, what is happening there at Fox? But now this individual who, so the Washington Post said that, written a story, that Richard Hopkins had recanted, had changed his mind. And now Richard Hopkins is saying, no, I did not. Mm-hmm. And I want the Washington Post to recant. Mm-hmm. But he was being pressured by, who was he being pressured by again?
Well, the Fox story identified it as a federal agent.
Now
he's a postal worker in Erie, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and he says that his supervisor told him to backdate ballots.
Correct.
Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Well then, go ahead.
No, I was going to say. So now, Abe, you worked in prosecution in both New Orleans and Houston, Texas.
That's right.
Is this pretty common?
No.
Okay.
No, you don't threaten a witness by saying that I'm not scaring you, but I am scaring you.
Yeah.
That seemed pretty absurd to me. Everybody is trained that when you're taking witness statements, that you don't feed them the information. The only context that's different is if you have a suspect and you have other things going on, they're the target of an investigation. But here you have a person who's serving as a witness. That is. I've never heard anything like this before. And the fact that he didn't know he was being recorded is pretty telling, in my view.
Hey, we have a Veterans Day special coming up at 5 after the hour. Our brother Tim Todd, pretty passionate preacher.
Yes, he is.
He's going to be sharing a message the next half hour. So we'll see you back live tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.